There is a false gospel that says that all a sinner needs to do to be saved is to have faith alone in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that the righteousness of Jesus is imputed to them, and that they need no righteousness of their own. The false pastors and teachers that would say this tell Christians that their righteousness is as filthy rags, and that there is none righteous. This is false. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags." When Isaiah the prophet said this, he was making a prayer of penitence. The righteousness of apostate Israel was as filthy rags. But when a Christian, when a sinner repents and turns from their sins and is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and follows after Jesus Christ, having faith, working through love, expressed by obedience to Christ, their righteousness is not counted as filthy rags. Isaiah was a righteous man who said this. There was a remnant in Israel whose righteousness God did not count as filthy rags. In Isaiah 64, verse 5, the very verse before, Isaiah says, "You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways." God meets with him who does righteousness. God meets with her who remembers God and his ways. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, Paul said, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." Was Paul the apostle making an absolute statement that righteous living is impossible and that there is truly nobody righteous in the eyes of God?
You play football?
Paul was quoting from Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3, where the psalmist said this, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." But King David, who wrote this psalm, did good. King David did not turn aside. King David understood the ways of God. Though King David sinned, he was repentant. Though he was not absolutely and perfectly righteous, God considered King David a righteous man. Again, David was speaking about an apostate nation, making general statements. It is not true that God considers none righteous. And it is not true that obedient Christians' righteousness are as filthy rags to God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 11, "When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. This man was cast out of the wedding because he had no wedding garment. Jesus said to the church of Sardis in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, "You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." This wedding garment is not the imputed righteousness of Christ, which a wicked sinner wears. In verse 17, Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, "Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed." Again, these white garments, these wedding garments, are not the imputed righteousness of Christ. This can be shown from Scripture. Also in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." The fine linen, the white garment, the wedding garment, is not being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but is the righteous acts of the saints. Have you made yourself ready for the wedding? Perhaps you are called. You call Jesus Lord. You do many works in His name. But if you are a worker of iniquity, you have not made yourself ready, and you're wearing a spotted, wrinkled, and filthy garment. In order to prepare for the wedding, we need to be doing righteous acts. We need to have obedient faith. In Jude, verse 22, and 23, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." We must hate the garment that is defiled by the flesh. But many professing Christians are content to be wearing that garment which is defiled with the filthiness of the flesh. They have no righteous acts of their own. Galatians 5:19 conveys how our garments become defiled. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like things, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, the works of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. For practicing the works of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're still wearing a filthy garment. In such a case, your righteousness is as filthy rags. But you can exchange it for a wedding garment of fine linen, clean and bright, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 16:15, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he should walk naked and they see his shame." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says that God wants to present her, the church, to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Is your life holy and without blemish? Or is your life spotted and wrinkled with the works of the flesh? God wants us to be holy as he is holy. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These people, these professing Christians who were called, were not chosen. Though they had faith alone, they were called workers of lawlessness and told to depart from Christ. They were unrighteous. Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus again talks about the judgment to come. And he tells us that the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Notice what distinguishes the sheep from the goats is not their faith alone, but their righteous acts. The apostle said, 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, speaking of the Lord Jesus, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. If you claim to be a born-again Christian, and you do not practice righteousness, you have not truly been born of God. Again, John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. It is not that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to a person who continues in wickedness and sin. Let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But you may say to me that Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The context of this epistle, chapter 4, was speaking of the works of circumcision, the works of the Mosaic Law. Before the Mosaic Law was given, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was not a wicked man. It was a righteous thing for Abraham to believe God. And God counted him righteous. Before Abraham was circumcised, God considered him righteous. David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Though David fell into sin, the sin of adultery and the sin of murder, he repented. And God forgave him. David was a righteous man. He was not wicked. He didn't continue in his sins. And in this sense, do we understand the blessedness that is to the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In James chapter 2, verse 23, James said that the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Again, quoting from Genesis 15:6, that Paul also quoted in Romans 4:3. James continues, he was called the friend of God. But James says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Are Paul and James contradicting one another as they quote from the same passage? And Paul concludes that a man is justified by faith and not works, whereas James says that a man is justified by works and not faith alone. These passages are harmonized if we understand that Paul was speaking about the works of the law, namely circumcision, and James was speaking about the works of obedience and righteousness. He says, Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. We are not justified by faith alone. The only place in Scripture that says faith alone is James 2:24, where he says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But again, Abraham was not an unrighteous man. God did not impute righteousness to a wicked man. It says earlier in Genesis that God said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. In verse 4, it says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham obeyed God. And it was later that as Abraham believed God, God considered him righteous. We read in the book of Hebrews that by faith, Abraham obeyed God. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. By faith, do you obey God? The Bible says of Abraham in Genesis 22 and verse 18, God said to Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. In Genesis 26, verse 4, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Abraham was considered righteous, not by faith alone, but because he obeyed God's voice and kept his charge. He kept God's commandments, his statutes, and his laws. Even the Apostle Paul, who said that there is none righteous, no, not one, also spoke of obedience in the very same epistle. He spoke of righteousness. In Romans chapter 1, it says that grace is given for obedience. It can be proven from the very same epistle of Romans that it is not an absolute statement that nobody is righteous. For instance, in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Not according to his faith alone, but according to his deeds. Verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who does evil. God will render to each one of us according to our works, whether they were righteous or unrighteous. And this is not to say that there is some way into the kingdom of God apart from faith in Christ. Obedience and righteousness that is acceptable to God must come and must be motivated by faith in Christ. Our righteousness is motivated by faith in Christ. Again, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, speaking to Christians, in chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's speaking to Christians. If you're a professing Christian, but you're walking in unrighteousness, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You might be thinking, well, that it's impossible for me to be saved and inherit the kingdom of God, because these things speak of me. But these things also spoke of me. Paul says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you are a fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, a homosexual, a sodomite, a thief, if you are covetous, or a drunkard, or a reviler, or an extortioner, there is hope for you. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn from your sins, and turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Turn from your unrighteousness and practice righteousness. This is not to say that we can earn our salvation. Salvation is a gift of God's grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nevertheless, salvation is conditioned upon our obedience, upon our faith, working through love, expressed by obedience, righteousness. Jesus said, that after we have done all that is commanded of us, we ought to say we are unprofitable servants doing that which is our duty to do. We are unprofitable servants doing that which is our duty to do after we have done all that He commanded us. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees had a righteousness which was rooted in the Mosaic law. Our righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees of Judaism when we actually follow Jesus and do what He said in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by those of old, whoever divorces their spouse, let him give them a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces their spouse and marries another commits adultery. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. You have heard that it was said, perform your oaths to the Lord, but I say to you, do not swear at all. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When we follow the teachings of Jesus, our righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees in the Mosaic law. No, your righteousness is not as filthy rags to God. But if you are a backslidden or apostate Christian in an apostate church, all your sacrifices, mission trips, prayers, church attendance is as a filthy rag to God. It's an abomination. Do not be deceived. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. Do you have any interest in the Bible?